Falche. I'm Cynioch, the Hebridean Baker. Join me as I travel through the Scottish Islands, sharing stories, recipes, wee Gaelic lessons and songs, as well as some Hebridean history. Episode 6 is a travel guide. We're going to be highlighting the best of the islands of Lewis and Harris and get you excited about planning your Hebridean holidays. So, where are the Outer Hebrides? Well, we are off the northwest coast of Scotland in the Atlantic Ocean. 525 miles as the crow flies from London, but only 271 miles from Torshavn in the Faroe Islands. The 15 inhabited islands of the Outer Hebrides have a total population of around 26,500, and there are more than 50 uninhabited islands. From Barra in the south to Lewis in the north is roughly 130 miles. Mountains, moors, and machar-covered white sandy beaches host the very best of Gaelic culture, wildlife, food, drink, and arts. Ceilidhs, canoeing, hill walking, windsurfing, and dozing off in front of a warm peat fire with renowned Hebridean hospitality is standard. Reaching the island of Lewis and Harris is easy, with flights from Inverness, Glasgow, and Edinburgh daily, as well as ferries from Ullapool on mainland Scotland and Uig on the Isle of Skye. So, let's start with our top tips for Lewis. The largest island of the Outer Hebrides, Lewis, offers amazing opportunities to explore all the elements of life on the edge of the Atlantic Ocean, with history, wilderness, wildlife, arts, crafts, crofting culture, and even adrenaline-fueled adventure, all here for the taking on your Hebridean holiday. From the main town of Stornoway and its imposing castle to the east of the island, to the stretching white sands of Bosta on Great Bernera to the west, Lewis is an island of exciting contrasts and diverse experiences. Discover the rich history of the proud Lewis people, from the Norse invasions to the strong Gaelic traditions that are still observed today. For Outlander fans and all travellers, seeing the ancient Colonish standing stones rising from the Lewis landscape may be the highlight of the whole trip. The ancient stone circle called Craithne Dún that transports Clare into the past in Outlander is fictional, but the real circle that it was built to resemble is Colonish stone circle on the Isle of Lewis. This is the most famous prehistoric stone monument in Scotland, and it spent most of its life under a living blanket of peat, which covered much of the islands. By 1857, just the tips of a few stones peeped out of the bog when the island's landowner, Sir James Matheson, decided to excavate. Nearly 2 meters of peat later, Colonish, this wonderful and powerful monument from 5,000 years ago, was exposed. 4 rows of ancient stones radiate outward from the stone circle, forming a rough cross shape. At the center is a huge 5 meter tall monolith looking over a stone burial kist that nestles within the circle. Standing on a rise overlooking fresh and saltwater lochs dotted with tiny wee islands, the site dominates its landscape. Long before the pyramids of Egypt were built, the northern and western isles of Scotland were a centre of sophisticated monumental building, which radiated out and south to influence later monuments such as Stonehenge. These stones of 300 million year old Lewisian gneiss, some of the oldest rock on the planet, were chosen, hauled, and precisely placed by our Neolithic ancestors, using only stone tools, strength, and great skill. It is an awe-inspiring place. Callanish was and is a place of power, a very special place, and one that must be experienced. The sense of its importance is increased when we realise that there are at least 15 other stone circles and standing stones nearby. We do not know why it was built, or what rituals and activities went on there. Pottery and other finds show that this was a thriving and sophisticated society, and that these islands have been the centre of a wider culture that traded by sea. Perhaps it was the kind of place to come close to the gods, or a place of ceremony. Maybe a place to watch the movements of the moon and stars. These Callanish monuments were, well, still will be forever, awe-inspiring for all visitors to ponder, look on, and dream. Now, we have two folk who have joined us who know the island of Lewis very well. Hello, Seorus. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Chanich. Kemara Hau and you.
Hami Oavasochma Tapalet. Now, tell me, why do you know the island of Lewis so well? Because I'm from Lewis, but you're from the town of Oban.
Yes, so I knew Lewis before I knew you. You're obviously my favourite Leosach in
you.
The world. But I knew your island before I knew you, I guess, because I went there for a job.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that's how we met, Cainneach.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was filming Cainneach as he was taking part in competitions at the MOD, the Royal National MOD, which was held in Stornoway in 2015, 16.
I think 16, yeah. And for those of the folk out there that don't know what the MOD is, I know we've spoken about it a little bit, but it's kind of like a Gaelic song contest, maybe the Eurovision Song Contest for Gaelic speakers. And it's an amazing week, isn't it, of song and performance and ceilidh and dancing and drinking.
It is very good crack at the MOD.
Yeah.
So I was sent to the airport to go and meet this guy who was known as Cainneach MacLeod from London, because you were living and working in London at the time. And yeah, that's how we met.
It is, yeah. But you were living up there for how long? 4 years, was it?
3.5, 4 years. Uh-huh. Right. But I actually have lived in Lewis for a job before, when I was in my 20s. For a short time, I worked in radio there. And my job takes me all around Scotland, but particularly the West Coast and the Gaeltacht and the Hebrides. So I know the islands quite well, but it was actually a great experience to live in Lewis and actually see it joined up across a season rather than seeing it in sections.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in Scotland, if people want to travel, people always ask us, when's a good time to come? When's the weather good? And there is no answer to that. You'd never know when a good day is going to land in Scotland.
Yeah, there's that Crowded House song, Four Seasons in One Day, and I'm sure the Finn brothers were probably on holiday in the Hebrides when they wrote that song. But I always think of the end of May as being a great time to visit.
Yes, and if you do get one of these glorious Scottish Hebridean days where you land on a beach all on your own and, you know, it's just so beautiful, but I think that that's a kind of... Actually, when I first started going to the islands, I had the picture postcard idea of what I was going to come across. And when I got there, and when I lived there as well, I especially discovered that it's quite good to be a wee bit organized and have destinations in mind so that you maybe see the very best of the place. So, for example, beach-wise, if I was in Lewis and I only had 1 week left.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I should think about this because I'm sure yourself and Shoris spent many hours and many days on the beaches of Lewis.
So what getting around.
Yeah, so what are your favourite beaches on Lewis?
Shall I do the top five and I'll start at number five?
Okay.
Okay, in five. I really like the beach that joins Point to mainland Lewis. So it's known as the Bray.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very near the airport. And it's a strand that actually sometimes, due to the weather, has to be closed. So Point is almost like an island
off
an island. It's like a wee thumb there. So the Bray is a nice walk. There's a pre-Celtic church there. And it was the site of a crofters uprising to take control of the land or to get better conditions for the land. And yeah, it's a bonny spot. And you look out across Broad Bay and across to Back, mm-hmm. which is where Mags, who's the Hebridean on TikTok, that's where she lives.
She's in Gres, that's right.
So you can wave across to Mags over on that side. Then my next favourite beach would probably be Trivor, which means the big beach in Tolsta. That's an amazing big long
beach. It's beautiful.
Beach and so great, amazing views across to the hills of mainland Scotland, Stackpolly and all these hills on a clear day.
Mm-hmm.
And then next beach is just around the corner from that one. It's called Garry Beach. That has amazing sea stacks. And when the tide is out, actually there's a cave that you can walk through that's on the beach. And it's got kind of sinking sand sections and there's an old village there that's long since abandoned, but you can still see all of the kind of workings of how an old Hebridean village like that would have worked.
So I'm thinking if your fifth, fourth, and third favourite beaches are on the east coast of Lewis, I wonder, are your two favourites on the west coast of Lewis?
Well, the west coast of Lewis is something else for beaches.
Mm.
I mean, if you ever make it to the Isle of Lewis, you absolutely must take a spin over to Uig. It's just so breathtakingly beautiful. There's multiple bonny beaches there.
I think my favourite is Valtos. I don't know about you.
I like Valtos. I like Reef as well.
Reef, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I also like Ardroyle, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the site where the famous Lewis chess pieces were found, I think in 1831.
Mm-hmm.
I think the story was that a young boy found a stone kistje, a case that's made out of stone.
When walking along, he was walking along the beach with his cow.
And the next thing, he had a look in the box, and what was there but a couple of hundred ivory, walrus ivory carved chess pieces.
And on that, we haven't really mentioned the main town, which is Stornoway, which if you are coming by ferry from the mainland or flying in, you'll arrive into Stornoway. And Stornoway is, a simple kind of fishing town, but it has a very pretty castle, and the castle has now been made into a museum. And a couple of the Lewis chessmen pieces are now at the museum.
Mm-hmm. More than a couple, a few, I think about 10.
Amazing.
And
yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, Cunhach, but I personally like the Queen the best. And if anyone's close to a computer, Google the Lewis chess pieces and just Google the Queen and look at the picture of disdain on her face as she, I guess, the Vikings were actually a very equal society and the women were just as powerful as the men and had a voice just as strong as the men. And her face just says it all with all these amatants that are around about her.
Well, you'll see dotted around the island, huge wooden Lewis chessmen. Great to get your photo taken with them. I love the Berserker. I think he's my favorite of the chessmen. But definitely stop into the Museum Na Nealann in Stornoway. But tell me, if you had just 1 or 2 days left.
Still had beaches left.
Oh, you still have beaches.
So
okay.
My favourite beach in the Hebrides, in the Western Isles, the Outer Islands, is, and I know this is not Aliosach Beach, sorry, Canyach, but Luskentyre Beach, Isle of Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Just pop that into your Google and have a wee look. You would think that you were in the Philippines.
Yes, and we have spoken about that already when we've done the wee tour of Paris.
Not in my bit, when it was my favourite beach, so that's my one.
Okay.
But there is one other beach. I should do a 2B, is Yorupi Beach in Ness. Very interesting. And there's a great play park there for children in amongst the sand dunes, which is fantastic. And also in Ness, there's Comin Echtri Nish, which is the local history society. And I think they just celebrated 40 years, sorry. They were established in 1979, I think. So they're not long turned 40. And it's an amazing little museum with all island history there, including your section, Canyach.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so back to my question. Mm-hmm. You've got 2 days left and you want to see 4 or 5 things on the island of Lewis. Mm-hmm. What are they going to be and what journey are you going to take?
Okay, so let's say you're starting in Stjarnevaag, in Stornoway. If you head south towards Harris and when you come to Lochs, which is your neck of the woods, mm-hmm. Canyach, the turn off at Lurebost to the right. If you take a spin off down that road, that is actually the direction towards Uig as well. And you'll come to, I think you maybe mentioned earlier, Canyach, the Callanish Stones.
Which is going to be a highlight for so many people.
I mean, they're so amazing. They're amazing. I remember going there to watch one of the lunar eclipses. And it was amazing. There was live TV cameras there and all kinds of people had come to Lewis just to be by those stones to see this. Solar activity. But so you pass by the Callanish Stones, which are in themselves just fantastic. And you'll come to Dún Harlowy, which is the broch. And
so tell us what a broch is.
Gosh, well, I wish I had maybe looked it up just before I was going to tell you, but I think that they were probably built around about maybe just prior to when the Vikings started mm-hmm. attacking the west coast of Scotland. So maybe around about the 800s. I'm guesstimating here, I can't quite remember. But they're basically like a cylindrical tower that's quite broad. They're sturdy, aren't they?
Yeah, they were big. Part stone, part wood.
Mm-hmm. So they were Pictish built or not.
Yeah, and viewpoints for the village, so they will be able to see the lochs and seas around them mm-hmm. and very difficult to get into.
A real keep.
Yeah.
And you could bring the animals in inside, and they had wooden levels inside them. So, you know, there was an upstairs, downstairs, and more levels than that even as well.
And one of the most wonderful things about the Callanish Stones, about Dún Carlaway, and I'm sure you're going to mention the Black Houses and Gearnan, is that you really can get in. You don't just stand on the other side of a fence or... you really can go up and touch the history of the islands, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the broch is great because it's the second most intact broch in Scotland. And actually, there are not many of them on the west coast of Scotland. There are many more on the east coast and the north part as well, and up into the Orkney and Shetland Islands.
So tell us a little bit about, so I mentioned there about Black Houses, and there are two in particular. There is the Arnold Black House and then the Gearnan Village. Mm-hmm. So tell us a wee bit about what a Black House is and what people should expect when they go to visit one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess Black Houses were... probably still inhabited in the Western Isles up until roughly the 60s, would you say?
Yeah, my auntie was born and raised in one. Mm-hmm.
So they were a stone structure. Usually, I think the ones in Lewis, which are quite Viking in their structure, they're a little bit different to the ones that you would see in other parts of Scotland. They're known as a Viking longhouse. And within the housing record in Lewis, you have examples of pre-Viking structures that were round houses that were more of a subterraneo. They were dug down and then the Vikings came and they kind of changed the look of the place and possibly used the same stone, but they would build two walls and fill the section in the middle with either earth or peat.
And it was often for both the families and the animals. There was kind of like a split in the house, wasn't there? So both could keep warm from the fire.
Yeah, that's what they say. Or the warmth of the animals would help to keep the family warm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very cozy and thatched on the roof using either maram grass or other materials that they would have.
And again, you can visit these on the island, and I think they are so special to visit. So what you're saying there is the west side of the island, so the Cullinish Stones, the Dún, or the Broch in Carloway, the Arnold Blackers. Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic trip.
There's a chap, Norman Mackenzie, hello Norman, is a weaver in Carloway, and he has the last working Hattersley loom, which is an amazing looking cast iron, very Victorian looking clickety-clack biarcht for weaving Harris tweed. And if you go to see him, then you can buy sections of single width Harris tweed, which is pretty rare now. Normally the modern weavers are using much wider double width machines that are almost like a bicycle. You cycle it and it causes the weaving to happen, whereas the old Hattersley loom, you kind of clacked two pedals, and it's just an amazing piece of Victorian engineering. And they were all up and down the Western Isles. They would be going away in sheds, I think.
Yeah, I think everybody who comes to the islands of Lewis and Harris have to leave with some Harris tweed, be it just a piece of cloth or a jacket or a purse, but Harris tweed will definitely be something that you'll want to take away. Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, so you've told us lots about your dream adventures on the islands, and we've visited ourselves since then, but very sad that we haven't been there for a wee while, but hopefully we'll be back very soon, and you can take me to your favourite beaches, and maybe I'll take you to mine. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Seamus. And we'll speak to you soon. All holidays in the Outer Hebrides should include the opportunity to discover Harris tweed, exclusively hand-woven on the islands. With a history spanning hundreds of years, from the early 17th century to the present day, the story of Harris tweed in the Outer Hebrides is one of romance, struggle, and survival. For centuries, the inhabitants of these islands have hand-woven cloth from the wool of their own sheep to protect them from the harsh and unpredictable climate. Genuine Harris tweed from the islands is identified by the historic orb mark, the guarantee of authenticity. Woven by island weavers in their own homes, Harris tweed is a truly magical and personalised cloth, set far apart from the mass-produced products of today's world. Its uniqueness is enhanced further by the fact that it is the only fabric in the world today that is guarded and protected by its own Act of Parliament. The Outer Hebridean island of Harris has offered inspiration for generations, with its rich traditions, stunning scenery, and strong sense of community. Harris offers a unique introduction to island life. Travel the Golden Road through the bays for a whistle-stop tour of the rich history and explore the popular village of Tarbert, where you can visit the Harris Tweed Shop. And don't miss the strong and comforting design inside the Isle of Harris Distillery, where you must buy a bottle of their iconic Harris Gin, and stop in their cosy cafe for a homemade cake or scone. The beautiful beaches of the Hebrides will be one of your highlights, and is there anywhere more beautiful than Luskin Tyre? Voted by TripAdvisor as the 13th most beautiful beach in the world. Gaze out across the West Harris Sands to the famous inhabited castaway island of Tarrancy, and experience a glimpse of the isolation from which the proud, self-sufficient communities of the Outer Hebrides were born. Or tour the adjoining Isle of Scalpe with its strong seafaring connections to understand more about the symbiosis of islanders and ocean. Lying 45 miles off the west coast of Lewis and Harris, the archipelago of St. Kilda is an extreme Atlantic outpost and one of the few World Heritage Sites in existence awarded dual status for meeting both the natural and cultural criteria for the classification. With its clear waters and craggy sea cliffs, it's not surprising that St. Kilda is home to Europe's largest colony of seabirds, including gannets and puffins. The islands also support species unique to St. Kilda, including sheep, field mice, and wrens, making it a fascinating natural island environment unmatched anywhere on Earth. Originally settled by humans between 4 and 5,000 years ago, St. Kilda's distance from the rest of the Outer Hebrides allowed for the development of a unique style of self-sufficient island life that remained much preserved until the archipelago's eventual abandonment in 1930. St. Kilda welcomes many visitors throughout the year who are drawn to the islands by its wonderful wildlife and fascinating history, much of which can be viewed during a day trip, although there is a small short-stay campsite on the largest island of Hirste that can accommodate up to 6 people for those who want to extend their explorations. Island explorers can choose from a selection of walks, offering ample opportunity for wildlife watching, while the more intrepid may venture into the island's crystal clear waters, recognized as one of Europe's most spectacular dive sites, as well as being home to whales and basking shark, which can sometimes be spotted from its beautiful shoreline. I hope these stories inspired you to think of visiting the beautiful islands of the Outer Hebrides, and maybe pop in and say hello on the way. Stay tuned for lots of exciting news over the next few weeks. You'll catch me as always on TikTok and at HebrideanBaker.com. Aoife.